Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or insightoasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at activespirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome to activespirituality.life with Pamela Cuccinelle and Susie Mazzoli. Pam's going to give us the first week of June, starting Monday, June the 1st, 2020, week 23 of this year. And she will go through each day as she does faithfully with us for many, many years now, giving us practical advice on how to handle what is going on and how we can bring our best out. And then afterwards, I will pop back in for our 10-minute turbo boost activation. So let us see what's in store this week for us, Pam.
Yes, welcome. So talking about June 1st, Monday, 2020. Always interesting to have the first be on a Monday. It doesn't usually roll out that way. But one of the things to be aware of is that the moon is in the sign of Libra. And whatever sign the moon is in kind of dictates or colors the flavor of the day. So with Libra, we usually think in terms of communion, people, conversations, diplomacy, connections, cultural events, peacemaking, discussions that weigh both sides, justice. And there certainly will be aspects of that. The thing is that depending on where you are on the planet and the hour of the day and the times I give are Eastern time, there are certain things happening in the sky that just sort of signal that things are a little, there's going to be energetic kind of twitches. And the first one I notice happens in the morning. And it involves the planet Mars. So this kind of twitch, what I'm saying is where we get a sense that, where did that come from? That came out of nowhere. So you can be having a very harmonious discussion. And since it's early in the morning, Eastern time, it may very well just be with your family, or you're not really out and about doing much at this point in time for people who are out and about. But just be aware there can be a kind of like a sudden movement or a sudden kind of argument, disagreement, devil's advocate, something that just seems a little aggressive or oddly assertive in whatever the overall even keel was planning to be. It's temporary, it's a transit, it doesn't stay, but it may stay longer depending on how we react. And that's one of the things, the keys in knowing where the moon is traveling, because our reactions often dictate outcome. And when we react without really being conscious of why we're doing what we're doing, responding, you know, just going on impulse, then we're not really looking at the wider view of what the overall outcome may be from this exchange or conversation. As the day progresses, we get more into energy that's about, let's coalesce, let's come together, let's make the thing hum. And when we get towards the evening, again, we've got another one of these. The planetary configuration is called an inconjunct, but I always see it as this blind spot. It's coming out of nowhere. We don't really see it. And so in this case involving Neptune, it can be, okay, I thought this was what we were doing, but now you're bringing this up. And so we get confused. We kind of lose our way. We get a little lost. We're in the middle of something we're doing, and suddenly we're not doing that anymore, or that the outcome didn't go the way we thought it was going to. And basically, what I always think of when Neptune is engaging in some way is, when was the last time you meditated? When was the last time you kind of calmed down and centered yourself? When was the last time you listened to music that gave you a sense of peace, a wider perspective? And many people with the quarantine, whether they're acting on staying in place or not, are feeling a sense of confinement right now. So this is encouraging us to look for wider spaces. And we can do that within. It's always nice to be able to get into nature. But if that's not an option, if you can't go up to your roof, if you can't hang out your window or have a patio or a space to be, then by all means, think of a way that you can drift into a sense of bigness, because we're being encouraged to get there. And if we're laser focused on something else, it kind of comes in and says, no, remember me. It's like you're on the shore and the waves are very gentle, and suddenly that big wave comes in that you didn't expect. And so you get a little... if you're just waiting, you get a little, I'm losing my footing here. And basically what you're being told is, be aware of the bigger picture. Enter into a space of infinite knowing, because the bigger picture is bigger than the reality that we perceive. And we get there through meditation, calmer spaces, gazing at nature, listening to music, allowing ourselves to float. So allow yourself to float in some capacity on the evening of June 1st, especially towards late evening, which will ease you into restful sleep. And then on June 2nd, the moon goes void, of course, at 6:40 a.m., and some of us may have a lot of dreams that happen throughout the night. Again, depending on where you are, you may not be dreaming, you may be in actively engaged, but things come up, present themselves that are pushing you a little forward, or rubbing up against something, because we're getting into little power struggles. And sometimes they aren't that little, about what it is that you want to make happen or foresee, and what actually is able to roll out. And again, that bigger picture perspective is going to help you if you feel a little unsettled, a little at sea, a little as though you're not able to communicate or relate as effectively as you would like to. Once the moon vote goes void, of course, at 6:40 a.m., when it's void, of course, it's not making geometric aspects to other planets. And then we're in this envelope of time that really wants us to not, like, put our stake down anywhere, to just kind of clear your desk, settle yourself, do things that recharge your body, do things that kind of put things in place. You're basically setting up for the next energetic wave that comes in. So that's why there's not that sense of attachment to, this is what I want to make happen now. And we usually say that when the moon is void, of course, don't expect anybody to follow through with something they say they're going to do necessarily, because again, there's not that glue to hold the commitment that will happen once the moon enters the next sign. And when it does, at 12:06 p.m., it enters the sign of Scorpio. very different energy. It's water energy. It's what we call fixed. So it's very tenacious. It's very focused on what it wants to make happen. And so when the moon is in Scorpio, as of 12:06 p.m., continuing through basically the fourth, then we're in this period of time that is much more, I'm working towards something. It's not easy on Tuesday. Tuesday the 2nd feels as though we're transitioning from maybe whatever messages or information we got over the weekend and then on Monday, and we're transitioning into more direction and action. So what wants to happen on Tuesday the 2nd is we want to stoke and trigger and activate our passion. And if you're thinking, well, I don't really have any passion right now, I'm feeling kind of flat, I'm feeling like all the wind has been taken out of me, all my plans have changed, I don't know quite where I'm going right now. Well, that's why you want to focus on something that's smaller, more intimate, that gives you a sense of this is something I want to stay with and work and be with. And so it can be a project that just allows you to sit down and work with your hands or write, or if you don't do any of those things, then do something that feels in some way methodical, satisfying to you. A lot of people garden, and a lot more people are gardening now than they've ever gardened, because it's they want to experience their hands in the soil, a sense of what's going to grow and come from the earth and the soil and the wonder of regrowth. And so if you do garden, if you can do something like that, that's a great thing to be able to do, or to be around things that are growing. There can be friction throughout the day. You might feel like you're butting up against some kind of authority figure in the afternoon. In the evening, late afternoon, there may be a sense of we're disagreeing, we're not getting along, I want to make this happen, but I must make that happen. So reconciliation of all the pieces of your psyche that are getting stimulated is really important to do. And so that's why we want to tease out and dialogue with, okay, why am I feeling unsettled or really strong about this kind of thing? And people who've been maybe living together in small quarters or spending more time together than they ordinarily do, this is a terrific day for kind of boiling off anything that doesn't really work in the piece that coalesces and gels and keeps you together. So dialogue is so fruitful on the 2nd, even though it may not feel that comfortable. Scorpio wants to dig deep. It wants to go in and see, you know, where's the parts that have to go? You know, let me go to the dark space. Let me go to the toxic space. Let's pull that sucker out. And so that's going on Tuesday. And then again on Wednesday, although Wednesday may feel less fraught, less, because it's almost like we're at a point of acceptance. Okay, you know, this is what we have to do, and let's just keep working through it. You get to the really nice space on the other side if you wade through the muddy waters. And so that needs to happen on Wednesday. And when we get to late morning, there can be a real like, whew, like sense of, wow, you know, the mud is getting thinner. We're really starting to move now. So there can almost be this celebratory energy that starts to happen. And the afternoon looks very, radiant and bright with. And again, these people who you'd be spent, these are people who are intimate to you, people who you love, people you want to deepen into relating. And they may, it may be a relationship that had seemed more casual, but you get into deeper waters with it. And also always reflect back to the relationship with yourself, because as we get into more profound knowledge of how we operate, why we react or seek or look for certain responses, then we know ourselves better, and we are more loving and peaceful people. So it overall, Tuesday and Wednesday look like very dynamic days to me, especially since Venus is retrograde, for us to continue exploring, loving the self and people around us. So on the 4th, the moon goes void, of course, at 7:36 a.m. And then it enters the sign of Sagittarius at 1:17 p.m. So once it enters the sign of Sagittarius, it's moving towards that full moon lunar eclipse that happens on Friday the 5th. Very dynamic eclipse. And it is, it happens at 15 degrees Sagittarius, 34 minutes. So if you have that degree somewhere in your horoscope, you are specifically getting charged and activated by this eclipse. We will all be feeling it in some way, but for some of us, it's going to be a very intimate dialogue. And so it's important to be aware that the eclipse is coming on Thursday. So there's this sense of you're building towards something, and in a real immediacy that starts to activate. Moon in Sag, it's fire, it's mutable, it wants to move, it wants to make something happen. So that being said, it's also engaged in certain ways that are highly volatile. So it's because Mars is positioned very strongly in the eclipse horoscope on the 5th, it signals some tempers will be very hot. And you may feel as though you're getting triggered or activated in ways that are almost boiling. So it's not like hot, like, how to say this? It's not like hot, like explosive hot, but it's more like, whoa, you know, it's, you've heard the story of when you put a frog in water and the water slowly heats up, the frog doesn't realize that it's basically going to be fried because it adapts to the heat. So we may be adapting to the heat on the 5th, and just be aware that as you're adapting to the heat, it's going to hit a critical point where basically many people will feel like I'm not staying in that pot of boiling water. And other people will try to react using the boiling water. So you decide, you know, which part you're, because full moons are always there, they really emphasize the polarity. So the Sagittarius moon is getting lit by the sun in Gemini, and a lot of information has been coming at us like buckets of information you don't want to know. You know, you turn on your phone, it's your neighbor tells you like all the information. And I think what's going to happen is, ideally, many of us will just say, oh, I need the cool head of wisdom. I don't want to be barraged endlessly with all this information. I want to know what I need to know, and I don't need to know all the other noise. So it's a very reaction type eclipse. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out, especially in the more global world, or the world where different players, celebrities, politicians, people who have a wider footprint, and also just a regular person's life event that ends up being magnified. So that can definitely happen this eclipse weekend. As at 12:10 a.m., right after midnight on Saturday the 6th, the moon goes void, of course. And what is being asked of us, I think, with that eclipse is so much about, back to what I said at the beginning of the week, you need that meditation pocket. You need that space where you connect to the bigger picture, because we're all kind of getting sucked into all this information that is not about wisdom. And so to obtain wisdom, we have to detach somewhat. We have to pull back, get a more objective perspective, and also open up to bigger messages that come through when we recharge, reflect, meditate. So at 3:44 p.m., the moon enters the sign of Capricorn. So what you're hearing is, a lot of the day on Saturday, the moon is void, of course, in the sign of Sagittarius. This is just screaming to be in nature somehow, even if you're just in an apartment with potting soil. Do something that gives you the sense that there's a natural world out there. So on the 6th, once the moon is in the sign of Capricorn, now we're in really juicy, fecund energy that's about creation. And what's interesting here is we're in the waning moon cycle, because the full moon has just occurred, the eclipse. And what it feels like to me is that the eclipse happens, there's some kind of shakedown that occurs. And this can be a quiet shakedown in a person, but something occurs that just is like, too much aggression, too much noise, need some quiet, feel confusion. And now I'm in a sense of, And when you're in that sense of, you get to kind of slowly start to rebuild. Waning moon cycle, Venus in retrograde, we're not going to build anything that's like we know exactly what it is, but we're starting with building blocks of health and well-being. So really do things that take care of yourself the evening of the 6th into the 7th. And one could say, well, you should do this all the time anyway. But when the moon is in Capricorn, we don't always prioritize that. We're looking at what we should be doing or what we must make happen. So I am saying that the moon and the planets are suggesting that what you must make happen is prioritizing your health and well-being. And then the rest will start to take care of itself. And now I turn it over to Susie.
And isn't that lovely when we can just let the rest take care of itself?
Yeah.
When we can relinquish control and anxiety and just let things be. One of, I think, the greatest teachings I've received from my Tibetan masters is allowing things to be, mm-hmm. which of course is like, well, I should be doing something. I should be doing this. I should be helping. But there's also another part of us that needs to let things just kind of roll out. So let's go into our meditation. Pam, is there one big key word?
Wisdom.
Oh, well, that's certainly a big word. Okay. I invite everybody to take 10 minutes to just sit with me. Take 10 minutes to just take a few deeper breaths. Hold your energy, hold the stillness, hold the wisdom. And as you sit here now, you might feel the wisdom within yourself. Some people do feel very wise. Some people feel very confident that they can access wisdom. Some others feel less confidence, and some of us might feel no wisdom at all. Let's just sink into that place now where there is inherent wisdom in everything, whether it's a pebble on the ground, whether it's the leaf on a giant oak tree, whether it's your grandfather, whether it's yourself, whether it's the person that you think of as totally annoying, or whether it is a bird chirping in your garden. Just visualize or imagine that there is this wisdom inherent in everything, and that wisdom informs, that wisdom guides, that wisdom allows everything to be for that being. So the wisdom that is inherent in you is there for you and is there for the situations that you find yourself in, for the conditions and circumstances that you personally find yourself in. So it's a personalized wisdom and individualized wisdom that is specific to your species as a human, to you as a person. And know, trust, have faith, believe, understand, whichever way you'd like to look at it, whichever aspect is important to you. Know that the wisdom that is inherent is available to you all of the time. That wisdom is a part of your karma, a part of your awareness. It is also a part of your growing up, of your knowledge, of what you've learned. It is this wisdom that is, in a way, also all pervasive. It is a wisdom that is everywhere and everything. So the wisdom that is you is yours, is connected to everything. So the individual wisdom, if you'd like to visualize it as a flower with lots of offshoots going in all directions, it sends roots through the ground and it is connected to all of the universe. So through your innate wisdom, through your personal wisdom, through that which you are karmically attached to, that which you are, you have access to all of the wisdom everywhere. And the tube or the pipeline or the road, the conduit, the way that you access this all-pervasive, this experience, this essence of all wisdom is through the self. It's through the personal wisdom. So there needs to be confidence, there needs to be understanding, there needs to be an acceptance that it is my wisdom that connects me to the greatness of all wisdom. So that we're not bypassing, we're not saying, oh, I am worthless, I know nothing, I have no idea what to do, I'm clueless, and then just jumping outside of the self. So this is where we are experiencing the interconnectedness through the self. And these words might seem pedantic, they might seem too logical, but it is this way of understanding the self that makes us even more powerful. It helps us to really ground into who we are, into our own karma, into our own experience, and then from that place to access the greatness of all, the larger picture, to access the information that we want or desire. And it's about using ourselves as the conduit, about seeing ourselves as an intricate and important, crucial part of the whole, that we're not seeking outside of the self. We're not seeking outside of what we are. That it's not that there is this universe outside of me and I'm just, oh, little me. But that me is as big as the sun. That me is like 100 planet Earths. That me is the size also of the infinite universe. And as we begin to feel that expansive, truly infinite nature of ourselves, doesn't give us a big head or make us egotistical. It makes us aware of the infinite power we have of love, of compassion, of creativity, of inventiveness. No matter how big a hole we dig ourselves into, and we've certainly done that, all of us in our lives, we can dig our way out. And in the digging, we can also learn, how did I get here in the first place, and how do I not get here again, and what did I learn from being in this place? So as we take a few deeper breaths, feel the infiniteness of your soul, of your spirit, of your being. Feel the vastness of the self. Infinite wisdom. Infinite experience, infinite knowledge, infinite creativity, infinite expansive awareness. And as you take a few deeper breaths, not only are you this infinite awareness, but so too is everybody else around you. So too is everything around you. Let's give ourselves the freedom to see ourselves in that way and to see others too in that way. Allow the judgment to simply disperse and become pure infinite wisdom as we take a few deeper breaths and gently open our eyes, seeing everything around us, everything around us, as pure potential, infinite awareness. And as we take a few deeper breaths, thank you so much, Pamela Cuccinelle. I am Susie Mazzoli. You have joined us for activespirituality.life. Check out our website to find out more about us. And we will be with you again next week.
You can find out more about Susie and her work as a master healer and homeopath on Susie Mazzoli, MESZOLY-healer.com. And I'm Pamela Cuccinelle, and instead of trying to spell my name, you can find me at insightoasis.com. And that's where I blog regularly about what's going on in the sky and the symbolism of the planets in relationship to what's happening here on Earth. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.